Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. For many years, medical associations supported gender change surgery for minors, but change is on the horizon, and some medical groups have now reversed course to agree that surgery should not be performed on minors. But the war isn't over, and there are still many battles ahead. January Littlejohn, an outspoken advocate for protecting minors, joins us today to talk about what parents still need to know on how to protect their kids from the gender indoctrination. That's coming up next. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Corletis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that you are all joining us again this week. We all gather together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. All right, well, let's talk about today's program. January Littlejohn is the mother of three teenagers, and she is a licensed mental health counselor. Now, in 2020, her 13-year-old daughter had begun to question her gender. Her school hid much of this requested gender change from January and her husband. Now, in the wake of the tsunami that hit their family, January has become a senior fellow parent advocate at Do No Harm. This organization protects children from the harms of gender ideology and fights to stand up for the safety of children, merit, excellence, and evidence-based medicine. All right. Welcome, January, to the Moms for America podcast. I should say welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, Debbie. It's great to be with you.
Always. And I just, as we were just getting ready to go live here, I was like, wow, we have so much to talk about. So we were just recently together in Washington, D.C., on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court regarding the trans ideology, moving into sports and taking over all of our girls' options there. So there was a great showing that I was glad to connect with you. That was quite a weekend over there.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. And it was just such a contrast to what we saw at the Scrimeti rally, you know, about a year ago. And so it was great to see so many different people, different types of people. You know, people really don't understand in the mainstream media, because they're not reporting it, how unifying this issue really is. So we had moms, dads, grandparents, every religion, every race represented, gays, lesbians. I mean, it was just wonderful to all come together for the sake of girls and protecting women and girls' spaces in sports.
Yeah. So what will be that? There's two cases that are key right now regarding this in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. One, and both of them are basically, you know, the trans student, the boy trying to play in the girls' sports and all of the chaos around that for the students and for the athletes, and then also for the parents, the schools. When will this be? This Idaho and a West Virginia or Virginia?
So we're hoping to have the Supreme Court ruling out by the summer. And, you know, there's another case, I don't know if you're aware of, Charles versus Salazar. And this is also a really important case on this issue, because it deals with the rights of a therapist to actually help a child feel comfortable in his or her body. A lot of people don't realize is that many states have passed laws that restrict therapists from even helping these young individuals to feel comfortable in their bodies. They are told they only can affirm the lie that the child is born in the wrong body, and whatever the child comes in and proclaims as their identity is what the therapist is supposed to then go along with and help with the medicalization process. So they really have just become facilitators of this medical abuse that we are seeing under the guise of healthcare.
Yeah, sure is. Well, we're going to dive into some of those more specifics, because the AMA, now we've got new rulings. President Trump's doing some really, you know, incredibly trailblazing initiatives to make sure that our girls are safe and our children remain in their God-given body. But first, I want to kind of go back a little bit, because I always love to just have a brief overview, because you're speaking from a very personal point as a mom. Your daughter, you've shared this with us before, and I know you've talked around the country on this, but we always have new moms joining us, which is great, right? Because we're always about helping them, educating them. And this is an issue that is not going away. It's being packaged differently. It's still being pushed. It's still being motivated by the schools, by social media, that girls and boys are not born in the right body, and then all of a sudden they land a liberal teacher, a progressive teacher. They get on social media, and all of a sudden, within days, weeks, or months, they've now decided that they're going to change their gender identity, which of course we know can't. Give us a quick overview about your daughter at 13. This happened to her.
So my daughter fell prey to the lie that she was born in the wrong body. After a friend group that she was in also started suddenly proclaiming these trans identities. And so, without our knowledge or consent, our middle school socially transitioned her. At age 13, they sat her down alone in a room with three adults that consisted of the assistant principal, guidance counselor, and a social worker I had never met, and completed what's called a gender support plan. And you can look up these plans on a website called Gender Spectrum. And it
It's
goes
crazy.
well beyond just name and pronouns. They asked these children, including my daughter, which sex and locker room they prefer to use and which sex they prefer to room with on overnight field trips. And then they go as far as to say, how do you want us to refer to you when speaking to your parents? Do you want us to use your birth name and pronouns or your what they call preferred name and pronouns? And this is to effectively deceive parents that these secret social transitions have ever occurred. Thankfully, we do have states like Florida that have enacted laws. This happened to our family back in 2020 when very little was known about what was happening, how this ideology had infiltrated our school system. But
Yeah.
according to Defending Education, there are still over 21,000 schools that have these secret transition policies, which is why these lawsuits, there's over 30 of them now nationally, why they're so important, because we really need precedent. We need, a ruling to set this precedent that parents have the fundamental right to direct the upbringing of their children, which includes mental health and medical care. And I want to be clear, this is a mental health issue that has been normalized, celebrated, and even promoted in our schools.
January, you've been such an advocate for truth, biological truth. And I think when things like this happen to your family, it comes right into your home. And again, you are very involved as a parent. You are very in tune with your kids. You knew what their struggles were, because we all know as parents, right, that our children have weaknesses or strengths. So you had had your eye on your daughter managing some of these issues. And to get the fact that the school would go above and beyond what a parent would ever allow or consent, and then push this along, all of a sudden your daughter now is in, it's like mom doesn't agree, but the school does. And then here comes the divisive action that's coming into a home and creating more problems than anyone can imagine.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And they're really alienating the children away from their parents. This is really an attack on the nuclear family as a whole.
It is.
And so this created a huge wedge between us and our daughter. And it sent a very clear message to her that our authority was no longer wanted or needed, and that she needed to be protected from us, not by us. And when you look at these social transition policies that they're hiding from parents, what's happening is they're painting all parents with no due process as a
Right.
danger to their children. They're citing suicide, the threat of suicide as a reason
Right.
to keep these secret, as well as potential abuse, or they even will go insofar as say this could create homelessness for these children. There's no evidence to back that. And further, it's unconstitutional. They are mandatory reporters. So if there's any suspected abuse or even neglect, they are mandated to report that. But what they're doing is using that as justification to cut fit and loving parents out of these mental health interventions at school.
And now we have, right, all these mental health clinics. We've got the clinics coming into the school, which is terrifying, because that is another avenue for mental health workers or people in the industry to get a hold of kids without parents' discussion. That's another, I mean, they just keep reinventing this so they can get to the kids without the parents. That's really the bottom line. And then you've got a 10 or a 12 or a 13 or a 14-year-old discussing some of the biggest hurdles with someone who doesn't know their child or love their child.
You're exactly right. And, unfortunately, we even have medical clinics going on to school campuses now. And in some states, children can access these interventions without parent consent. So we have a real issue right now. We are also seeing child protective services being weaponized. Not only has this ideology infiltrated social media, our schools, our university, but it's also infiltrated our judicial system. And so we are seeing the consequences of that, where parents are actually losing custody of their children for not affirming this lie and placing their child on this irreversible medical pathway. And there is so much evidence that we now know that the risk of these interventions far outweigh the benefits. We know children don't have the cognitive maturity to weigh these types of irreversible, interventions. And you have victims of this medical scandal like Chloe Cole, Layla Jane, Luca Hine, who have now sued their hospitals and medical providers for medical malpractice.
Anyone that would think that a 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, even anyone under 18, and we all know that actually the child's brain is not even developed until 21. I mean, this is crazy, but you do know, and your heart goes out for a moment truly to the parents because, like you were in this situation, the pressure, maybe not, maybe you want to help your child. And when they come in with such force, like we've heard, and it, like you said, either do you want an alive daughter or a dead son or whatever they do with this, they pressure you incredibly so to get on their ball game, and roll with this. But you said no, you knew as a parent, and to the parents that are out there going through this, you know your child the best, and you have got to be the defender of them. Did you? You took her out of school. You made some huge changes. And what were those?
So this is a radical ideology. And so, for us, it was really like deprogramming her. We had to change the school environment. We had to take her cell phone. We had to cut her off from those trans influencers because you have to combat the lie that they're being constantly told that if your parents don't affirm your identity, they don't love you. And so you have, emotional manipulation coming from all different areas. And my heart does break for these parents, because there was just recently a verdict where Fox Varian, a detransitioner, was awarded $2 million. And her mom testified to the fact that she was emotionally blackmailed into consenting for these interventions on behalf of her daughter. We often hear, well, these are medical decisions that should be between a parent and a doctor. Well, the bottom line is these doctors are activists and they are not following the ethical guidelines of do no harm. And they are not telling the parents the truth of what the statistics actually show. They're threatening the parents that the child's going to commit suicide as if it's a foregone conclusion, as opposed to a risk factor. Often they're saying this in front of the vulnerable child. So think about that as a parent. And think about that from a child's perspective. They're hearing, well, if my mom doesn't consent to this, I'm going to commit suicide. That puts a parent in an impossible situation because if they push back at all, the child's internalizing, does my mom want me to commit suicide? Even though there's no evidence to back that up. Even Chase Strangio said that at the Scrimeti Supreme Court oral argument. And so, this lie has taken root in our psychological field and our medical field, and it's used to blackmail parents into consenting to this medical harm that's occurring.
It sure is. And like you said, when you start speaking this in front of a child, then they start, even thoughts that they would never have, start becoming a part of their everyday process. And
Yeah.
they think that this is going to be the answer. Then we know it's not the answer because it's always they either they're on the spectrum or they have some psychological issues. Clearly, there is a mental problem going on with this child
Right.
that this is not going to correct. And all the detransitioners, when they come out of this world and they have a chance to have the blinders off, they're like, what was everyone thinking? I was not in a good state of mind and I needed help. And this is the only help that they have is cut off my breasts or, the in the medical field too, that like you just mentioned, they become lifelong patients.
Yeah. Well, and many of the detransitioners, when you hear them talk about this, the vast majority of them have co-occurring mental health issues, as you mentioned. Many are on the autism spectrum. Many have anorexia, previous sexual trauma, depression, anxiety. And many have attested to the fact that they were not suicidal until they were placed on this medical pathway. Chloe Cole has said the same thing. And so it's really important to understand that these interventions do not cure anything. They do not produce positive outcomes for these children. And we're talking about very serious lifelong consequences like sterility, like destruction of future sexual functioning, like cutting the breast off of girls as young as 12 years old. And that was the pathway that the school put my daughter on. Social transition is not benign or neutral. My daughter, this escalated very quickly for her, like it does a lot of these girls. It quickly goes from asking for a name and pronouns to breast minding, to talking about what they call top surgery, which is a euphemism for a double mastectomy. And so when you think about it from a perspective that a 13-year-old girl
Tragic.
went from being a normal adolescent, experiencing normal pubescent issues with her body, which is completely normal for that time during adolescence, to wanting to cut her breast off and the school celebrating and encouraging her along that pathway. This is absolutely unthinkable and should not be happening.
Yeah, and these puberty blockers and just all of this medication that we have absolutely no data what 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road looks like. So, how is your daughter doing now? What is it, 5 years later?
Yeah, I mean, almost six now. And so that I'm very protective over her privacy. She's a freshman in college now. Our litigation has taken time to work through the system. And during that time, we've given our daughter time to mature, time to heal from everything that's happened, and just allowing her to be a normal college
Grow
freshman.
up. Yeah.
That's right. To mature and have those experiences that she missed out on, frankly. That's one thing that's
Yeah.
not talked about enough is everyone's talking about the $2 million that Fox Varian just got. First of all, I don't think it's enough. Second, if you were to ask Fox, I'm sure she would want her breast back. I'm sure she would want that time back. And
Sure.
that is what these kids grieve. It's the time
Irreversible.
that, it's the time that they lose to this lie that they will never get back because these kids become obsessed with these identities. And it's a very selfish ideology. It's all about themselves with no thought as to how it's impacting other people in their family. And this is a family systems issue and it impacts the entire family. And it's just a nightmare I don't wish on anybody.
All right, Mom, stay with us. We'll be right back with more from January Littlejohn. Hi, Moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, If you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit HerzogFoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at HerzogFoundation.com. Welcome back, moms. Before we continue with our interview, I do want to remind everyone to like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your mama friends. What an important topic. So I know so many of our moms would be very, very interested in this. So please go ahead and share this. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for our podcast, would you please email me directly at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I would love to hear from you and any of your suggestions. And then lastly, I want to invite all of our moms that are listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. It's moms like us all across the country, uniting to fight for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. We have a very special, a new platform for our moms to discuss, and it's called Moms Town Square. So please become a member. It's all free. We've got incredible resources for you, moms. Check us out at momsforamerica.us and join the movement here at Moms for America. All right, now back to the interview. President Trump now, let's talk about some of the policies that he's enacted and come forth strongly in saying that we're not going to mutilate children. We're just not going to do it. Comments on President Trump and what he's been able to do, because, boy, we were on a path with President Biden that everybody and their brother was going to be transitioned if he had his way.
Yeah. And, you know, I am so grateful that the Trump administration is using every tool at their disposal.
Yeah.
But I want to be clear that executive orders are not permanent legal protection. So without codifying these into the law, you know, God forbid we have someone that comes in that's on board with this medical abuse, we'll be right back in the same position.
Right.
And so we have a very limited time to take down this Goliath. And I'm grateful that the FTC is now investigating the American Academy of Pediatrics and WPATH. You know, there are really big players that have helped to perpetuate this medical scandal against our children. And WPATH and American Academy of Pediatrics is definitely one of them. If you recall, myself, Aaron Friday, a therapist by the name of Pamela Garfield Yeager, and four detransitioners were kicked out of an American Academy of Pediatrics conference a couple of years ago for simply having conversations. So
right, you can't have conversation.
Really, no, they have really silenced debate and certainly silenced detransitioners, and that harm is occurring. And so I would love to see nothing more than that organization be burned to the ground.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, what about the American Medical Association now with this whole 19 and... That was a good ruling, but there's still a lot of drama around that. And there's a lot of other organizations that need to step up to this, right?
Well, it was really the American Society of Plastic Surgeons that have had the courage to come out and say, we do not recommend surgical interventions on minors. And they even touched on, and they said under 19, they even touched on the endocrine issues that patients are seeing. So obviously they're talking about surgeries, but they did bring in information from the CAS report out of the UK and the recent HHS report, the systematic review that our government has done. So I would really encourage listeners, if you want to really look at the science behind all this and what the evidence actually shows, read the HHS report. It is excellent.
Incredible.
It is unbiased. And, you know, we're really coming to a time where the truth is coming forward. And I'm very grateful that our HHS is leading with evidence over ideology in this area to protect children from these unproven interventions.
Yeah. Big shout out to Secretary Kennedy and his team there, too, because we talk about courage is contagious, and it is when leadership steps up and exposes and fights for us. It makes all of us stronger when you're out there with your sign saying, you know, all these things make us all stronger to speak the truth and to be bolder in our communities and in our home and across America. So thank you for that. Now let's talk a little bit about your filings. I know you've got a petition. Your case was in your state. And then now it's before the Supreme Court. I know you can't get into all of it, but you have some, hopefully, some big news coming.
Sure. Well, there's actually three cases sitting at the Supreme Court right now waiting for review that are like mine, like the social transition cases. There's the Foote versus Ludlow, my case, and then there's a case out of Maine, a mom by the name of Amber Levine, very brave mom. Her child was actually given a breast binder by the school, which
Yeah, we've
is
had her on,
essentially,
yeah.
yeah, I mean, and so I'm just so grateful for these parents willing to stand up in order to protect other families from experiencing this. But we're hopeful that the Supreme Court will pick up one or all of these cases and weigh in once and for all and settle this so that schools stop violating parental rights in this manner.
Yeah. Well, best of luck because, boy, that would really be a huge win for all of us and a win of truth. When something like this is before the Supreme Court and the importance of that ruling, that will then be able to help stop like child protection services and the schools. It will be a trickle-down effect that will instantly stop this ideology, right? This will be able to cut it off at the pass now if the Supreme Court rules in favor on some of these cases.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of these things are important steps in ultimately stopping this ideology. But you and I both know this is a spiritual battle. It is a
Sure
war that has
is.
been waged on reality itself. And it's going to take time to extract this out of our institutions, especially our
Yeah.
universities. You know, we're still seeing that even in Florida, this idea that you have a gender identity and you choose your gender. If you look at admissions for a lot of universities all over the country, you'll see a drop down of all of these false identities for a student to choose from. And so it's just going to take time. And I think ultimately what is needed is a change in culture. And we just have to keep telling the truth. But yes, all of these wins, these detransitioner lawsuits, the parental rights lawsuits, the
Yeah.
sports case, the therapist case, they're all important pieces in order to get the truth out there and stop this from continuing to happen.
You know, about 10 years ago, I was at a conference. It was actually a conference we held, a summit in California. And one of the speakers had said on stage, and it was, and it's always shocking when you hear it, but then you're kind of like, no, they're not going to be able to do this. But of course they do. She said that in California, this is like 10, 12 years ago, that they were going to have, it was called gender fluidity being taught in kindergarten. And it was so shocking to hear. And then you knew, boy, if they could do it, they would do it. And they surely did. When you get this idea that you have fluid gender through a kindergartner and you push that, it just ri it and it just took off. It's you would say there's no way it would ever be able to be allowed, but it takes off. And I think as parents, they're catching up to it always, and they're just ahead of us. But thank God now we're ahead of them. We're going to stop it.
Yeah, and it's really important to understand what this does to a child, Debbie.
Oh, yeah.
When you are teaching them this lie, and think about a teacher, you know, they're in a position of power, right?
Right.
We look to adults as children in our lives to make sense of the world, to tell us the truth. And when you tell a child this lie, it
Yeah.
destabilizes their identity. It introduces this idea that is completely false, that they choose their gender. And so you've got this ideology being perpetuated in books, in social emotional learning, in sex ed curriculums, in GSA clubs. And then, like you said, in California, in places like Colorado, it's actually embedded into the everyday curriculum starting in kindergarten.
Right.
So we are talking about just so many kids that are going to be very confused. And when you destabilize that identity that young, It makes it very easy to indoctrinate them with anything.
Yeah, it sure
And
is.
that's ultimately what the goal is. We're seeing
Yeah.
some of these young people become completely radicalized, even
Yeah.
through video games. We just had another shooting in Canada. And so we really have to take this issue seriously. This is a mental health issue.
It
These
is.
individuals need real psychotherapy to help them identify the root of their distress and really
Yeah.
work through these issues. Helping them to feel comfortable in the reality of their sex is the compassionate treatment. Not lying to them, not telling them they can become something they aren't. And then, you couple that with these kids being told people like me are trying to erase them, that they are victims of oppression, and you pump them full of hormones. And we wonder why we're seeing instability like we've
Right.
never seen before.
And it is like I just had a chill come through my body when you were talking about it because your kids are older now. Mine are too. Mine are in their 20s. This is a whole generation. Oh, it's hard not to even get emotional about it because it's like a whole generation is being destroyed. And when you talk about the fact that these little kids in school are asked, are you in moms, they don't come in and say, hey, you want to be a boy? Although now they're probably doing that even more. They come in and they have them fill out a little survey. Are you questioning? Do you think you're really a boy or a girl? Would you like to have, they come in and they start embedding these ideas in these little bitty brains. And all of a sudden, they're just like, maybe I do, maybe I could. And they check a box. And that's what bugs me the most. Oh, they check that box. And then all of a sudden, they're on this journey of who am I? And we know who they are, and their parents don't even know they're on this journey. What do we do about the school system? Are you out on public education now? What are your thoughts on that? Because I know that moms are listening to this going, what do I do now? What do I do?
Well, first and foremost, if you have a child that's vulnerable to this, you need to know what's being
Yeah.
taught in your school. And if there's any question of this being taught in your school, pull them. I mean, and you know if a child's vulnerable. And I want to say that it's not just happening in the schools, it's also happening in pediatrician's office. I remember
Sure.
Do No Harm ran a story a couple of years ago about Cincinnati Children's Hospital. These pediatricians were being trained to ask these questions starting at age 4 and 5. Is your child having any questions about their gender? So they're completely normalizing this, and there is nothing normal but a
No.
child rejecting his or her sex and thinking that they need to change their body to suit something in their mind. So, parents, do not leave the doctor's office if you are
No.
asked to leave. Do not leave your child alone with an adult that may, be able to indoctrinate your child. And we have to go back to this, like old school stranger danger, and teach our children. If a parent, if a teacher or another parent, even a doctor ever tells you it's okay to keep secrets from me, that person is a danger
Yes,
to you.
sure
So
is.
this needs to start at a very young age. You brought up the fact that I was engaged. I wasn't some unengaged parent. I was volunteer of the year at this middle school, and this still happened to our family. I was a substitute teacher in the district. A lot of people don't even know that. And so
In a
I
medical
could go.
background, right? And you were in
I'm a
counseling
licensed
or,
counselor. That's
yeah.
correct. And so I think that that's one of the reasons why I came out so strong on this
Yeah.
issue, because I saw not just from a mom's perspective of how damaging this was to my daughter and our family, but also from an ethical perspective in a counseling setting, to only affirm whatever a client brings in as an adolescent is so unethical. And I think I brought this up last time, but there's a lot of parallels to what I saw my daughter experiencing with this distress over her sex and what I saw with anorexic patients. And so if you think about it from that way, because these girls are being taught to disassociate from their body parts that they don't like, that they're uncomfortable with. That's why they use euphemisms like top surgery, bottom surgery. These kids really see their bodies not as whole, but as parts just to be added or removed. And we know that is not the reality of how our bodies work. You know, once you give a child a double mastectomy, you can't just go get breasts back. That is not how this works. But yet, that is how they are being taught to think about their bodies. And so, when you think about from an anorexia perspective, it would be completely unthinkable that a school would affirm a girl in her distorted view of her body, that they would hide that information from parents and even celebrate her for being anorexic and restricting food. That is what we're doing when they are secretly socially transitioning these children. They are hiding a psychiatric issue from parents. And so we have got to get back to a time where people understand this isn't normal, this is not healthy, and this is a mental health issue that needs to be treated ethically.
Well, I'd love to have you give some resources. I mean, we've had Dr. Grossman on here. Do No Harm has a lot of information. What are some of the books? What are some of the resources that you would suggest for moms or websites to go to? We have some of that on our site as well. But I would love for you, because at in the end of the day, we want to arm up our mamas with the truth. Because if they're not going through it, they know somebody. They know another mom that is going through this. This is affecting every home somewhere in the country.
Absolutely. And it's also impacting grandparents. I get
Sure is.
contacted by a lot of grandparents. And, you know, some of the most heartbreaking situations are when their son or daughter has bought into the lie and they're affirming their grandchild. And so that's really, really heartbreaking when I hear from grandparents that are in those situations. But Do No Harm has wonderful evidence-based resources. If you look, I put together a parent page that I will send you that you can share with your viewers. And it's got Dr. Grossman's book. It's got Pamela Yarfield-Yeager's book. So it's got all of these books. There are Substacks. It's called PIT, where parents who are experiencing this issue with their children write anonymously advice for parents. We also have support groups for parents now. Parents of ROGD Kids is a wonderful resource that has state-centered support groups in almost every state. So when we talk about resources that are available now compared to when this happened to our family in 2020, it really is night and day. And I'm so grateful for the amount of organizations that have stepped forward. We also now have a wonderful resource for detransitioners called the Resilience Health Network. And they are actually providing compassionate, ethical care to these detransitioners who rightly so have a distrust of therapists and medical providers because they were misled and led down this harmful pathway. So there are some really wonderful doctors and therapists and organizations stepping forward to help parents. But ultimately, what we need is more people telling the truth, having the courage, so that we can really change the culture. We have to get this out of our schools, our
We sure
universities,
do.
our children's programming. And we do that by standing up and saying, no more. This is not real. This is not true. This is not kind. And getting back to a place of truth and reality.
Yes, we want to empower parents. We want to expose the lie, and we want to provide the resources to help them on this journey with their kids. And I remember even when Dr. Grossman was on here, she says, I'll tell you what's my very first word of advice. Never affirm a name change. She said, just cut it off at the pass. And parents have, as hard as it is, you are in control, not your kids. You are the parent. You're not the child. And so just some of those fundamentals are really, but you know, like you said, if the school's behind it and kids and all this and social media, there's just so many more challenges even than from you 5, 6 years ago. So
Well, and you know, parents have to know that you're the expert of your child. You
that's
can't
right.
outsource this issue. And you know, I think that Abigail Schreier's second book to Irreversible Damage, Bad Therapy, was just as important. because it showed us how therapy even can be harmful for these kids,
Right.
especially if it's coming from an affirmation-only perspective. You're not giving that child then a chance to resolve the distress naturally. And the vast majority, just like my daughter, the vast majority of these kids will desist if they are not socially or medically transitioned. That's why Dr. Grossman is so firm on that rule. But I will take it a
Right.
step further and tell parents, it's never too late to walk a decision back. I want to be really clear about that because sometimes we listen to the so-called experts and we make that mistake. And I have
Yeah.
helped parents to walk that decision back.
Yes.
I've had parents had to leave the country for a year, Debbie. This is a
Wow.
radical ideology. And sometimes, depending
Just
upon
took their
how
kids
in,
and said, I'm out.
yeah,
Yep.
for a whole year. And I know that not everybody has the resources to do that,
Yeah.
but you do have the resources in most states now because of ch school choice and other things in place. You have the choice to take your child and put them in a different school environment. And oftentimes that's what it takes because my daughter, if we had left her in public school, she would have never been able to save face. There would
No.
have been no opportunity for her to go back to those adults who were celebrating her and say, you know what? I was
She's not
wrong.
strong. Yeah.
No. Absolutely not. And
Yeah.
so these kids, they need time. They need parents to be the ultimate authority figure in their lives, be that voice of reason, be
Yeah.
that beacon of truth for them that they really need, and do that from a place of love and compassion, not
That's right.
judgment. But there are
Yeah.
so many resources. Please go to donoharmmedicine.org. We also have great research-based papers. We have a Stop the Harm database where you can see
Sure
by
do.
state which hospitals were actually performing these sex-rejecting interventions on children. Because if you remember, Debbie, how long were they saying that surgeries were not happening on children? And we
Right.
knew that they were. They were
And we knew that they
lying.
were, yeah.
They were lying. And so we have so much information on our Do No Harm website, and it's really great for parents, for physicians. You can also become a member and just stay abreast of what we're doing. We also have
Yes.
a confidential tip portal. And this is really important because there's a lot of medical professionals out there
Okay.
who know in states like Florida or other states that have passed these laws protecting children from these interventions, it's still happening. We know that they're using fraudulent billing codes to continue to do these interventions and prescribe the puberty blockers, prescribe the cross-sex hormones. So, if you are one of these doctors or nurses or therapists that know this is still happening, please let us know so that we can shut this down. And you can do that anonymously through our tip portal.
Wow. Thank you, January. Thank you, Do No Harm. Thank you to everyone that has been so vocal on this because it is just protecting the most vulnerable, our children. They are just, they're babies. They've got so much growing up to do, and to allow this attack on them and just their very soul. Boy, you're setting them up for just such a rough, rough life where they just never understand. And keep praying for them. You know, God made them and created them in his image, and he made them male and female. And boy, they just got to work through it. And I know it's not, I'm simplifying it because I know that there is some psychiatric and mental issues hand in hand with this, but you can get through this, moms. You can do
Absolutely.
this. January did it. Mom after mom after mom have taken their child out of that school, changed their friend group, moved across the state, put them with family members. You just do whatever you've
That's
got
right.
to do to save them.
That's right. Change their doctor, whatever it takes. And I'm always clear with parents. We had to basically pre-interview during the time of our daughter's confusion and distress any adult she was going to spend time with. And that's a really important aspect of this, from the hairdresser to the art teacher, because again, this ideology is not capturing the captain of the cheerleading squad. It's going after the kids that are already feeling alone, that are
Right.
already don't fit in, that are isolated, that are quirky, the theater kids, the kids, that just would have been the goth kids 10 years ago. Now we're putting on them this medical pathway, telling them they were born wrong. And sanity and truth will prevail. It's going to take all of us standing up, though, collectively, and saying we are not going to allow this anymore on our children.
Well, God bless you, January. Hugs to the family. Thanks for being a warrior. I hope to see you soon in person again, and we'll be praying for those cases that are at the Supreme Court. And actually, all of our moms that are listening, share this, moms, because this podcast can really, really revolutionize a mom's heart and soul if she's dealing with the situation in her family. So thank you,
Absolutely.
January.
Thank you, Debbie, and thank you for all you all are doing.
It was hard to stop that conversation with January because it is so important and it is so widespread across this country. But thank you, January. Thank you, Do No Harm. I want to mention that website again, donoharmmedicine.org. Check out all of their information. Of course, we have resources at momsforamerica.us as well. But that's the place to stop by and get more information that will help you moms or help someone in your circle. All right, and to everyone, I do want to say thank you again for joining us here at Moms for America. We have incredible programs, resources for you moms. So please join the movement here at momsforamerica.us. It's all free. We're here to help you on your journey through motherhood. We say this every week, from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to Congress, we have it all for you, the ultimate support group. So thanks for joining us. And as always, let's keep changing our country one home at a time. I'll see you next week, moms. And again, like, subscribe, and share. See you next time. A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.